18. She wasn't killed in the cave-in, Gideon explained, because if she'd been killed in the cave-in, there wouldn't have been any maggots.
No maggots, Fausto said dully.
Uh-huh.
No maggots, Gideon repeated. Look, maggots are the larvae of flies. I know that. Which hatch from the eggs that the flies lay on dead things.
I know. Jesus, Gideon, tell me something I don't know.
Well, what you obviously don't know is that flies do not lay eggs on dead things when they're covered by 3 or 4 or 5 feet of earth. You don't find maggots on people buried in landslides. How would the flies reach them? He waited for that to sink in.
Oh, I never thought of that, Fausto said quietly.
Well, why should you? But I should have thought of it the minute... Damn, how could I miss that? He raised his hand for another crack at his own forehead, but thought better of it. Fausto scowled up at him.
So this means...
This means that Sheila Chan spent some time above ground between the time she died and the time the cave-in buried her.
You mean she laid around dead for 2 days? Those maggots were 2 days old.
No. Just long enough for the flies to get to her and lay their eggs. Once they did that in the open air, where they could get to her, the maggots would be able to survive underground.
How long would that take, for the flies to get to her and lay their eggs?
No way to tell, but not very long. Maybe 5 minutes. In a climate like this, almost certainly inside of a couple of hours.
So you're saying she was killed somewhere else, Fausto mused. Then brought out to the cave and buried under the cave-in?
Not necessarily. Gideon dropped into his chair again, quieter and more reflective now. Corbin and Prue told me she'd been hanging around the site even though she wasn't supposed to.
That's true?
Okay, I think we can assume everybody knew it. So my guess would be that someone got to her right there, that she was killed where she was found, and then they triggered the cave-in to cover her. That'd be a lot simpler and a lot safer than carting a dead body around in a car.
Fausto nodded.
Yeah, I guess. This cave-in business, though, I'm out of my element here. Is it really that simple to trigger something like that? How do you do it? Dynamite?
Dynamite, gelignite, something like that. And the cliff was unstable to begin with, from all the rain we had. So I'd say it wouldn't have been that hard, no.
Can you just buy explosives in Gibraltar, or do you need to get a license or something? What I'm wondering is, could there be a record of who bought any around that time?
Well, yeah, you need a license, but you have to be a construction or demolition company to get one. If I remember right, there are only 2 companies that have them. I can check that angle out. Problem is, if the guy had any brains, he'd have skipped the license thing and sneaked the stuff in from Spain or even better, Africa. If I were him, that's what I would have done. I love my country, but I have to say we're about the easiest place in the world to smuggle anything into, or out of. But don't get me started on that.
Gideon leaned back in his chair. Fill me in on the case, will you, Fausto? When did you know she was missing? What made you check out the cave? Do you know if she had any...
Whoa, I told you. I was just helping out. It wasn't my case, so I don't have all the details in my head.
Well, can we talk to the guy whose case it was?
Sure, if you want to go to the Falklands. But we ought to be able to get what information there is right here.
He picked up the telephone.
Conrad, I need the file on Sheila Chan. It'll be in the dead files. Thanks.
He hung up and rotated his chair to face Gideon.
I can give you the general picture while we're waiting, though.
The call to the police had come from Corbin. Sheila had been scheduled to present a major paper at the conference, but she had failed to show up for it. Moreover, no one seemed to have seen her since the morning of the day before. Concerned, Corbin had already checked with the desk at the Elliott Hotel, where she'd been staying, and had learned that her room hadn't been slept in the previous night, and no meals had been charged to her account since breakfast on the morning of the day before. The police had taken it seriously, and in conducting their interviews, it hadn't taken them long to put together two highly pertinent facts. A. The cave-in at Europa Point had occurred exactly 2 days earlier, only a few hours after anyone had last seen Sheila, and B. Despite the clearly posted warnings, she had been spending a lot of time at the risky site. Guessing that she might have been caught in the slide, and hoping that she might be alive under the rubble, they had quickly mobilized an emergency rescue squad to dig for her. And after 4 hours of burrowing holes in the dirt, they had uncovered those shrunken, reaching fingertips.
Aha. I don't suppose there's going to be an autopsy report in that file.
I'm pretty sure there isn't. Why would we do a post-mortem on something like that? It was all pretty cut and dried. No suspicion of foul play.
Or so we thought.
That's what I figured. And the body was cremated so I can forget about actually looking at it. He sighed. The case file Fausto had asked for was brought in and laid on the desk. An unpromisingly thin manila folder with case closed stamped on the front. As Fausto opened it, the telephone rang again. With a cluck of irritation, he picked it up.
Chief Inspector Soto,
he listened, rolling his eyes.
Again? Can't you handle it?
A long, melodramatic sigh.
Okay, yeah, I'll deal with him. Hell no, I'll come down there. Once we let him in, we'll never get rid of him.
He stood up, unfolded his cuffs, and effortlessly slipped in the links, something that Gideon had never gotten the knack of. Invariably, it took him half a minute of fumbling, and shrugged into his Armani jacket.
Got one of our best customers out front. This time he's griping about his neighbor's budgie driving him nuts. I better talk to him.
Budgie, said Gideon.
Budgerigar, bird, parakeet.
He fluttered his fingers in front of his mouth.
Tweet, tweet.
Gideon looked at him in surprise.
A complaint about a parakeet? I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, I know. Not exactly DCI material, but this clown's sister is married to the chief minister, who happens to be my boss's boss, so? He spread his hands.
Say no more. I understand completely.
Fausto slid the file across the desk.
Help yourself. Not much there, though.
He squared his trim, narrow shoulders and stalked out the door, his mutters fading away as he headed down the hall. I'm gonna kill him. This time I'm gonna... Gideon opened the file and fanned out the thin sheaf of papers inside. There was an initial report from the investigating officer, a case summary, a list of Sheila's outgoing telephone calls from the hotel, a number of uninformative interview accounts. Adrian, Corbin, Prue, and Audrey had all been contacted during the brief missing person phase, as had the Elliott Hotel staff, and various forms and records. Only one of them held his attention for more than a few seconds. Royal Gibraltar Police, Property Record Form, Listing of Personal Effects, Case Number 2005-44, Name of Deceased, Sheila Laura Chan, Property Recorded on 24th August 2005, Property Recorded by Anthony Burns, Sergeant, Jesse Figueroa, Clerk. Found on and in immediate vicinity of deceased, cash, £24.77, $5.59. Jewelry, Swiss military wristwatch, ankle bracelet. Clothing, deceased was clothed in shirt, cap, walking shorts, belt, socks, sandals, underwear. Other, trowel, sunglasses, ballpoint pen, wallet, comb, purse, credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, other cards, California driver's license, Social Security, Berkeley Public Library, Safeway, Pier 1. Found in deceased's lodgings, room 434, Elliott Hotel. Cash, none. Jewelry, none. Clothing, 3 shirts, 2 pairs walking shorts, 1 pair jeans, 1 pair slacks, 1 pair walking shoes, 1 pair running shoes,
one pair of bedroom slippers, four sets underwear, three pair socks, one pair pajamas. Other, suitcase, ballpoint pen, gel pen, highlighter pens, nail clippers, scissors, two plaster vertebrae, two books, The Neanderthal Legacy, Neanderthals and Modern Humans in Late Pleistocene Eurasia. Shoulder bag, purse, lipstick, toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, sunscreen, four bottled drugs and medicines, aspirin, Ambien, Prozac, multivitamins, Lipitor. Is property of evidentiary value? No. Release 2. No known relatives or claimants. Property donated to local charities or destroyed. 29 August 2005. He was still studying this sheet, intently and protractedly, when Fausto returned, hanging up his jacket and coming to look over Gideon's shoulder. Found something interesting? He slipped out of his cufflinks as deftly as he'd inserted them, and crisply refolded his shirt sleeves. Uh-huh, Gideon said thoughtfully. A couple of things. What are these, do you remember? He tapped one of the entries with his finger. Two plaster vertebrae. Oh, yeah, they were models, not real. What about them? It says at the bottom it was all given away or destroyed. There wouldn't be any way of tracing what happened to them, would there? Fausto slowly shook his head. Not if it doesn't say there. Why, you think they might be important? Well, yes, considering how light she was traveling, how little else was on that inventory. They must have been important. Maybe something to do with the paper she was going to give. You have to admit, they're funny things to carry around with you and keep in your hotel room. Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to find them in your hotel room. That's a point, Gideon admitted with a smile. But you know, what's equally interesting is what isn't there. What isn't there? Fausto said, scowling down at the sheet. Let me ask you, can I assume this inventory is absolutely complete? I mean, would it include every single thing you found on her or at the hotel? If she had it, it's on the list. Why, what isn't there? Think about it a minute. She was going to give a presentation, right? Right, yeah? A major paper, you said. Yeah? So how about just telling me? Fausto said irritably. I guess I'm just too dumb to see it on my own. Where's the paper? The paper? Fausto echoed. What paper? I don't... Fausto, these were professional, highly academic meetings. At a conference like that, people don't just get up and talk off the tops of their heads, the way I did at the cave. Everybody reads their papers, aloud. That must make things really stimulating. It's awful, but that's still the way it's done. Well, where's the paper? For that matter, where are her notes? She'd almost certainly have had notes with her, maybe handouts too. And chances are she would have brought her laptop with her, full of background material and details, and maybe so she could make a PowerPoint presentation. Where's any of that? Fausto took the folder from him, went around the desk and sat down again, studying the inventory form line by line. I see what you mean. Not there, all right. Someone took them, Gideon said flatly. Maybe someone took them. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's one of your mottos, isn't it? He was thumbing restlessly, abstractedly through the rest of the file, not really looking at it. Fausto, look at the facts. One, he ticked the point off on his thumb, Sheila Chan's all set to give a big paper, but before she can do it, she gets killed and all her notes disappear. Two, this one on his index finger, I'm scheduled to give a big speech, and somebody does his best to kill me, and comes a lot closer than I like. Three, the middle finger, Gunderson's scheduled to make some kind of speech at the Europa Point ceremony, but somebody kills him before he can do it, and burns his house down to boot. Are you telling me you don't see a pattern here? I don't know. Yeah, maybe, okay? Fausto nodded his reluctant agreement, then unexpectedly produced his bark of a laugh.
Whoo, boy. Talk about interconnected monkey doo-doo. Little did I know that archaeology was such a dangerous profession. Thank Christ these meetings are only once every 4 or 5 years. Otherwise, we'd be up to our eyeballs in homicides.
You probably are up to your eyeballs in homicides, Gideon said a little grumpily. You just don't know it because you don't have an obliging expert like me around to help you out.
Yeah, that must be it, Fausto said, thinking. The file was still open on his desk. He was drumming his fingers on the topmost form.
Look, I think the place to start with Chan.
He snapped his fingers with a sharp clack that Gideon, an ineffective finger snapper, envied.
Hey, I just remembered. I think I might know. Come on.
In a flash, he was out of his chair, through the door, and hustling down the corridor with his quick, short, decisive steps, heels clicking on the linoleum tiles. Gideon followed, his longer legs allowing him to keep up with a more moderate stride. They went to the booking room, where Gideon had been fingerprinted. The woman who had rolled his prints was sitting at a metal desk, still humming while she used a metal ruler to pencil lines onto a flowchart. As they came in, she stopped humming and sat up straight.
Can I help you, Chief Inspector?
Fausto's eyes were hunting around the room, searching for something, not finding it.
Rosie, he said after a moment, you used to have a kind of little vase in here. You made it out of a couple of plaster vertebrae that were part of the property inventory from the cave-in out at Europa Point. I don't see them.
Rosie swallowed.
Inspector Poulin said it was okay to take them, sir, she said nervously. I did ask. I mean, I know that's not according to the books, but they were just going into the dustbin anyway, and I thought they'd be cute for, you know, a single rose or something, so I just glued them together.
I know, Fausto said, in what was as close as he ever came to a soothing tone. There's no problem. I just wanted to know where it is. Professor Oliver here wants to have a look at them.
It's not here anymore.
Damn, Gideon said to himself.
It's at home.
Ah, Gideon said to himself.
My 10-year-old, she's interested in bones. She wants to be a medical illustrator. She has it on her desk now. She uses it to hold her favorite pen.
She was half out of her chair.
Do you need it right now, sir? Shall I run home and collect it?
Fausto looked at Gideon.
Gideon? No, not this minute, Gideon said. If you bring it in with you tomorrow, I'll come by at some point and have a look at it.
So how come they decompose? Fausto asked as they walked back to his office.
What? How come they decompose? Fausto asked again. Bodies that get buried where the flies can't lay their eggs on them. Why don't they just shrivel up or something? What, the worms get into them? Is that what does it?
As a matter of fact, no. That's a bum rap that worms have had to live with for centuries. When people first saw maggots wriggling away on corpses, they thought they were worms, and it seems to have stuck. But worms don't eat dead bodies.
But bodies still decompose no matter how deep they're buried. What makes that happen? What's the cause, technically? Why don't they just turn into mummies? Is it moisture or...
Oh, I see what you mean. No, you already have all the enzymes and bacteria needed to do the job crawling around inside you. Well, enzymes don't crawl, right now. When you're alive, they help you digest and assimilate foreign substances, food primarily. When you're dead, they help digest and assimilate you.
Sort of like recycling.
Exactly like recycling, Gideon agreed after a moment's thought.